little while this morning while our folks go down. While our musicians, we'll try to get ready to I wonder what we're going to do now. You know, I always put my notes in a notebook, and you're not going to believe this. I picked up my notebook this morning for my health notes, blood pressure, and medication. So I guess I'm going to give you all high blood pressure this morning. That is the notebook my notes are in, by the way. Just for help you out a little bit along that line. I thought I'd just put a little joy, a little folly in things this morning. And, but isn't it good to be saved? Well, we're in that time of the year when folks want to forget so much about the Lord, when we ought to be thinking so much about Him. And people want to forget about Him. But I hope we've come this morning with Him on our hearts and our minds. I've had a good time already. I don't know about you, but I have. And I can say it's been good to be here. I want to ask you to stand together this morning and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter number 2. Exodus in your Bible and chapter number 2, okay? And I don't really have a great deal, I'll be honest with you. I got a lot, but I don't have a lot. Sometimes you have a lot of words, but you don't have anything to say about them. Sometimes you don't. All right, Exodus chapter number 2. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi." Now, lest I fail to get to this in the message, that man and that woman was Amram and Jochebed. They came together as husband and wife. The Bible said, "And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby slept, wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, 'This is one of the Hebrew children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages.'" Can you imagine being paid to take care of your own child? "And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Now may the Lord add His blessings to that. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Heavenly Father, it's been good to be in God's house today. We certainly appreciate the Sunday school hour and the songs that we've been able to enjoy and one another's fellowship. We're grateful, Lord, You've sent visitors our way again today. I pray You'll bless them and us as well in Thy Word. I do ask You, Lord, to redeem fallen man. I ask You to be merciful to those that are without God and without hope today, that they might be lifted from their sin and degradation. They might be washed in the blood of the Lamb of God and become Your child. I pray for Your people that this would be a day of great blessing and joy for them. Help our children, our ladies, as the young people, Lord, have their play following the meal today. I do ask you to bless myself with power and unction. Grant me the liberty and help that I need today to be a blessing to your people. Give us divine and holy grace, and may your presence fill this place today and your power fill every heart that's here. I pray you're blessed now in Jesus' wonderful and holy name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Well, Brother Steve taught this morning in Sunday school on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will say a couple of things about that, not much, but somewhat in introduction this morning. But he preached on the birth of Christ, but I want to preach to you this morning, as the Lord would lead me for a little while, on the birth of Moses. The birth of Moses, one of the most unusual, I think, births in all the Bible. Now, if you've read the Bible, I'm sure you have read and understand there are many and there's several accounts of God's people who have been born into this world, and they've been surrounded by some of the most strangest circumstances that ever was. But I'll say this, each and every one of those were by sovereign design that the plan of God might be carried forth upon this earth. And you can put that down in your heart and mind, that God's purpose and plan, I run that by you constantly, that God's purpose and plan will be fulfilled upon this earth. There's no human alive that can thwart the plan of God. Satan done all he could do, and certainly he is more powerful than we, and he couldn't get the job done. And if the devil couldn't get the job done, if Satan couldn't get the job done, if sin couldn't get the job done, then there's not a man on earth that'll get the job done either. There's not an army on this earth that can withstand the power of Almighty God. He will defeat the armies of the world someday with a sharp sword that goeth out of his mouth, which is the Word of God. And there's no one going to thwart the plan of Almighty God. But there's been some strange and unusual births throughout the Bible. I want to say to which none of those would supersede the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Steve told the story so well this morning in Sunday school out of the book of Luke, how that the Lord's birth was announced, how he came into the world, how Joseph and Mary had went to Bethlehem because they were of the household of David. And they'd went there to pay their taxes. And while they were there, Mary being great with child, had no place at the inn for her. They took refuge in a manger. And there, the Lord Jesus was born in that manger. I think there's a reason for that. He is the bread of life. A manger is something that an animal eats out of. He's the bread of life. And therefore, he's revealing to you and I that he is that bread of life that feeds us. If we're going to get spiritually fed, it's going to have to be done at the hands or by the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. But while he was there, an angel came and announced to shepherds in the field, watching their sheep by night, and informed them of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know the story, how that the shepherds went. And as they went, a whole host of angels from heaven began to sing and rejoice, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And they went and saw where the Lord Jesus was born. And then you know the story of the wise men that came from the east and brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. But I want to say that the greatest and most unusual thing about the birth of the Lord Jesus was that it wasn't only man in that manger. It was God-man in that manger. And the Lord made himself a little lower than the angels that he might be crowned with glory and honor in dying for you and I and our sins upon this earth. But I'm going to tell you, there's coming a greater carnation day when he's going to be crowned Lord of Lords and King of Kings there in heaven itself. And I don't know about you, but I've got plans to be there. In fact, my reservation is already made. I got my ticket punched, friend. I'm on my way. I have been born again by the grace of God. I'm going to be there when they crown Him Lord of all. Boy, I love that old song about crowning Him Lord of all. Boy, there'll come a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And an unusual birth, how He was announced to Mary by Gabriel the angel that she should conceive and bear in her womb a child. Her never being with man, and yet she conceived and bare a child, being overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And she brought into this world the Son of the living God, who was planned in the counsels of God before the world ever was, that He should come as a lamb slain and die on Calvary for your and my sins. I'm glad that He came. I don't know about you. We look over this holiday season, but thank God for that manger where that baby was born. Thank God for the cross where that man died. And thank God for the tomb where God got him out of. Amen. He died a baby, amen, was born a baby, died a man, but He rose as God, amen, out of that tomb. And I want to thank Him and praise His wonderful name for that. I think about other strange births. I think about the birth of Isaac to Abraham and to Sarah, both beyond the years that they should give birth to a child. And yet God brought a child of promise that through Isaac should come the promised seed. And both, Abraham and Sarah both, beyond the ability to have a child, they even laughed at God when He told them that they were going to have Sarah was going to conceive. They even laughed at God. But you know what the Lord told them? He said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Now, I'm going to tell you, if you look back at all that God's done and is doing, you'd have to agree with me that for Him to give birth to a child from the womb of a woman that was beyond the age of the flower of her youth is but a small thing in the mind of Almighty God. I want to say to you today, there is nothing too hard for God. There's nothing that God can't do. We got the idea today that God can't save sinners. I'm telling you, God can save sinners. And God will save sinners. If a sinner will come to Him and repent of his sin, God will save him. Amen. I don't know whether God will ever turn. Somebody said, well, He'll never turn the world around. That's where you're wrong. Somebody said, the world's gone too far. Well, they've even passed a law now. They passed it yesterday where the sodomites can serve in the military openly. That grieves my heart. But I'm going to tell you, it grieves my heart in one way, but I'm going to tell you, it rejoices it in another way. Because Jesus said, when you see all these things come to pass, lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. When you see, hey, wars and rumors of wars and nation rising against nation, and it was in the days of Noah and Lot, lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. Buddy, I'm telling you, it's nigh. Hallelujah. We get ready to get out of this place. Unbuckle your seatbelt. Loosen your tent stake, friend. We get ready to get out of this world, hallelujah to God, and go out to a better place where God's at, hallelujah. Amen, that's right. Thanks be unto His wonderful name. I think about the birth of old Jacob. Somebody said, well, what was so unusual about that? Well, the thing that was unusual about that is that Rebecca, like the Lord said, what's going on with inside of me? And the Lord said, well, said, there's two nations in your womb. And Jacob and Esau represents two nations. And I want to say, hey, they were warned. Come on now. We wonder what's going on in the Middle East. It's nothing unusual. They were at war in the womb. What's going on over there now was going on in the womb a long time ago inside Rebecca. Hey, but God said that the older shall serve the younger, and so it is. Amen. I'm going to say that crowd of Arabs someday is going to bow at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can say amen. And that crowd of Muslims right along with them. Say amen right there. You think Jesus is afraid of that raghead crowd? You're wrong, buddy. He ain't a bit afraid of them. Amen. You oughtn't to be either. Somebody said, what if they come in here and kill us all? Don't threaten me with heaven. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm ready. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen right there. But I think of the birth of Jacob. Then I think of the birth of Samson. What an unusual birth that was. That the angel of the Lord announced that birth to the mother rather than the wife of Manoah. The mother rather than announcing it to the man. And that angel explained to her that he'd be a Nazarite from the womb. He was not to drink strong drink, and he was never a razor come to his head, and so never to touch a dead body of any kind. And when she told her husband, her husband said, I've got to see this thing myself. He said, if that man ever comes back, you let me know. Well, he come back sure enough again. And Manoah went to him and said, if this is all true, said, I want you to wait here till I bring you out an offering. And sure enough, he said, you go, I'll wait. Manoah brought that offering out and placed it on a rock. And the Bible said that, hey, fire came up out of the rock and devoured that sacrifice. And the Bible said that the angel did wondrously. I'm going to tell you why it did wondrously. Because his name is wonderful. Amen. That angel that took that sacrifice was the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm telling you, we got a God. I'm about ready to lose my mind right now. On Mount Carmel, when Elijah called down the fire of God, the fire came down on the rock and devoured the sacrifice from coming down. But not in Manoah's day. It came up out of the rock, hallelujah, and devoured that sacrifice. That angel went up in fire. Amen. I'm going to tell you why. Because God is a consuming fire. Now, we know the story about Samson. He never obeyed God. We understand that. But it was an unusual birth. I don't think any of you women ever had anything like that experienced anything like that, have you? I don't think you have. I don't know anybody in our day that has. And then, how could I not talk about the birth of John the Baptist? I mean, there is Elizabeth, Zacharias, both, again, beyond that age. But the Bible said they're righteous. And he's in that temple yet praying. And that angel said, Zacharias, God's heard your prayers. And he was so dumbfounded, he came out there and couldn't even speak. But the angel told him, said, that boy is going to be named John. And sure enough, when John was born, all the people wanted to name him Zacharias. And the woman said, not so. Said, his name's John. Right. They said, boy, ask his daddy. Said, what's his name? Said, there ain't a boy in your family named John. And they brought him a writing pad. Right. And he wrote down on that pad, his name shall be called John. Amen. And the Bible said, when he wrote that down, that God loosed his tongue. And buddy, hey, God allowed him to begin to praise the Lord for what he had done in his life. I'm telling you, if Zacharias praised God for the birth of John the Baptist, what will you and I today not get up and praise the Lamb of God? I'm talking about the Lord Jesus and died on Calvary in our place. Amen. Praise God. If they can shout praises to John, we certainly ought to praise Jesus. And by the way, when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, the Bible said that the baby leaped in her womb. John the Baptist was shouting over Jesus a long time ago. Amen. Somebody said, well, the Pentecostals started shouting. Buddy, you better read your Bible. John wasn't a Pentecostal, he was a Baptist. He shouted in his mother's womb. Pentecostals didn't get here in 1912. Us Baptists have been shouting a long time. That is when we can get a shout out of you. Amen. That's right. You should get a shout out of some of you. I feel like shouting right now. Oh yeah, when I think about the Lamb of God that left the glory of heaven. And yet the Bible said that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. And we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah, His wonderful name. Made a little lower than the angels to be crowned with great power and great glory. And He is. Hallelujah. Well, better get to a message. I see some of you getting hungry. You rubbing your bellies. But I think about the birth of Moses here in our text today. Born of Amram and Jochebed, both of them of the tribe of Levi. And the Bible said that when that woman conceived and bare that child, she saw that he was a goodly child. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that means a little bit more than he was just a pretty little boy. She saw something there that struck her heart. You can turn these fans on. Somebody wants to turn the fans on. Everybody says a lot of people are fanning themselves. If you want to turn the fans on, that's fine. But she saw that he was a goodly child. And by the way, they had already had two children. They had Aaron that was about 3 years old at this time. They had Miriam that was probably 9 years old at this time. But during the time that Moses was born, Pharaoh had sent out a decree that all the Hebrew children should be put to death. Does that remind you of anything? Looks to me like he may very well be a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when Christ was born, had put out a decree that all the males should be put to death 3 years old and under. And here Pharaoh has put out a decree that all the male children of the Hebrews in Egypt ought to be put to death. And there's her mommy and daddy that saw he was a goodly child. The Bible said he hid that baby for 3 months. And it says when they could no longer hide him, then she made a little ark for him. Daubed it with slime and with pitch. And put that little baby down in it. Laid him down in those flags along the brink of the water, the river, Nile River. And he goes on to say that Miriam stood off where nobody could see her, but she could see. She may have been crouched down and watching to see what would become of the child. And lo, sure enough, here come Pharaoh's daughter walking down that pathway with all of her maidens going down to take a bath. And she looked and she saw that ark. And she told one of those girls, said, "Fetch me that." By the way, fetch ain't a bad word. She said, "Fetch me that." And when she opened that up, she saw that baby was crying. She realized it was a Hebrew. Now, I want you to get a hold of this, buddy. The Bible said she had compassion on that child. Personally, most writers, and I do too, I personally believe that Pharaoh's daughter was probably married and was never able to have a child. But oh, when she saw that little Hebrew baby, I'm going to tell you, I believe she saw the same thing in his face as Jochebed saw in his face. And when she saw those tears running down his face, the Bible said she had compassion on that little boy. I want to remind you that she was an Egyptian and he was a Hebrew, and they didn't have any love toward each other at this time. And she may very well have jeopardized her own life by saving that little boy. I'm telling what her daddy might have said. He hadn't known about it at the time. But all of a sudden, here comes on the scene Miriam and says, "Would you like for me to get one of the Hebrew women to nurse this child for you?" And she says, "Well, of course, he couldn't nurse the child." She said, "Well, of course." She said, "I'll pay her wages to do it." And that little girl with great joy. It don't say it in the Bible. It don't say it. It don't say it. But I believe Miriam headed down out of them flags and down toward where her mom was out hollering, "Mama! Mama, I got a job for you. Guess what? You're going to get a nurse, you baby." What a miracle. What a miracle. Amen. There he was amongst the flags. But amen. Pharaoh's daughter came along and rescued him and brought him to his own mama for mama to take care of.
Amen. He nursed that baby until it was. She nursed that baby. I thought I heard something go down in volume.
She nursed that baby until it was time to take it to Pharaoh's house. And she took that baby to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's daughter. And Moses became her child. Now, the Bible here says that she called him Meshah. That means to draw out. A lot of the writers believe that the word is pronounced Moshiach, and it means both to draw out and to bring forth. And why the baby was named this name that he was, Moses here,
simply means that that Pharaoh's daughter, hey, she not only drew him out of the water, but she took him as her child. She said, I drew him out of the water, but he's mine, and I'm saying that I brought him forth. He belongs to me. And he was, until he could become of age, he was. Amen. Now, here's the message, and I'll get into it, and we'll be done. I want to say about three or four things about the text. I've told you the story. But I see about three or four things here. I see, first of all, that the parents of Moses had great faith. In fact, the Bible said in Hebrews 11:23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. There was a mommy and a daddy that God had given a little boy to. And they had great faith in God. Such great faith that they denied the king's commandment. Such faith that they jeopardized their own lives. Such faith that they did all they could do to preserve that child and see to it that it was raised for the glory of God. I wonder how many mommies and daddies we got in here today that could say the same thing. That Jochebed and Amram said, that I've got a child, praise God. I'm going to have enough faith to believe that God will raise my baby for Him. Hallelujah. Some of you men and women in here have got little boys, and young girls, that you ought to be on an altar praying to God that God would use them, and you ought to do everything within your power to preserve them from the world and from sin. Hey, and give them to God. That's what she did when she laid that baby down. She just gave him to God into the hands of Almighty God. Now, some writers believe that they had some revelation from God that Moses was going to be the deliverer. I don't believe that. I don't believe it at all. I believe that their faith was simply in God, that He had protected and preserved that child. If they'd put all they could put into it, and they did for 3 months, they put all they could put into it. And they couldn't put no more into it than they did. Keeping him 3 months and then putting him in that little ark. They done all they could do to preserve that child and laid him into the hands of God and said, God, he's in your hands. I'll never forget a story, and I forget who it was. Somebody down in Georgia, I believe, an old preacher, when he was born in a little old house, and it was cold and winter. Who? Hobo Jackson. Now, little baby was born, the doctor said, there ain't no way he's going to live. Said, you might as well forget about it. He's not going to make it. And that baby was so small, Mama put that baby in a shoebox and carried that baby to the house of God and laid that little baby down, laid old Hobo Jackson down on the altar of that church and said, God, you brought him into the world. He's not mine, he's yours. Amen. That you've given my baby life. I want you to take my baby and preserve his life and then use him in your work in your ministry, if it please God. I'm going to tell you, oh God, not only kept old Hobo Jackson alive and saved him from dying, but I'm going to tell you, he saved his soul from death as well. And for years, he run up and down the highways carrying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. They've named highways after him down there and bridges after him. Oh yes, I'm talking about after a man that proclaimed the gospel. I'm telling you, son, tell her what God might do for these boys and girls if we'd just lay them on the altar and give them to God. Let God use them. Hallelujah. Believe God. He can do something. Now, I want to talk for a minute here. Their faith, they had to have faith in the concealment of the child. They concealed that child for 3 months. I want you to notice something. There was nothing mentioned that their faith was prompted from a special word from God, that he would become the deliverer of his people. They simply refused to obey the king's commandment. That's what the Bible said. They refused to obey the king's commandment. They were not afraid, the Bible said, of the king's commandment. This commandment from the king evidently was not in place during the birth of Miriam nor of Aaron. But it was in place during the birth of little old Moses. And they concealed him. And I'll say some more about that.
But their faith overcame their fear. Their faith overcame their fear. You realize what would have happened to them had one of Pharaoh's soldiers came and saw that baby or heard that baby? What they would have done to that little baby at the time and what they would have done to his parents. But I'm telling you, friend, they had enough faith to believe they concealed that child, and that faith overcome fear. Now I want to say this right now, that most of the time, that which we fear the most proves out most of the times to become the greatest joy in our life. You better get a hold of that. There was a little old boy. Hey, they overcame fear. And that fear that they overcame, that little boy, by preserving that little boy, grew up to be the greatest joy of their life. Hey, used like no other man have never been used of God. He said, other prophets I'll talk to, but he said, Moses I'll talk to face to face. I'm telling you that God raised up a man that day that he could use for his honor and his glory. What a joy that must have been to mommy and daddy. I remember when I was preached my first message, my brother said, Cheese, you ought to go back to selling furniture. I'm glad Cheese kept on preaching. Amen, amen to God. That's right. Now, they concealed that child. They concealed their faith in concealment of that child, but their faith in constraining Miriam and Aaron. Now, somebody said, now, Brother Hall, that's not much. Well, I know it's not much, but it's a lot if you think about it. How many in here has had an older child and then had a little baby born? None of you, huh? What I'm saying is we've all had little, most of us have had children, and later on we have another child. And if that one child, that older child, is big enough, when it comes to the house of God, guess what it's going to do? Mommy, Daddy's got a new baby. I've got a little brother and a little sister. Can you imagine the faith they had? For 3 months, ladies and gentlemen, there was not one word from Miriam. 9 years old. You talking about restraint? 9 years old. And she never one time ran out of the house and said, hey, I've got a baby brother in here. And guess what? We put him amongst the bulrushes and God delivered him, brought him back into the house. And Mama's nursing him for Pharaoh's daughter. Not one word did that little girl say. Amen. I think of that little 3-year-old boy. I can just see Jochebed and Amram getting over him and saying, Aaron, keep your mouth shut. And he didn't look up at him and say, I don't have to. He just stood there and said, And for 3 months, they held their peace. Hey, they kept the secret of that little old stranger. They were preserved from letting slip one unfortunate little old word about the little brother in the household. And that was all done by faith. All of it. There was probably unbroken silence from time to time. That baby was a baby, and I'm sure he began to cry. And can you imagine probably Jochebed said, Moses, be quiet. Be quiet, son. I mean, they labored at it, folks. Come on now, help me out. They labored at keeping that child alive for the glory of God. And then the watchfulness, I'm sure they probably stood guard at the door wondering any time that one of the Pharaoh soldiers might come by. And just at that time, the baby cried! Yep. But he didn't! Now I'm getting ready to tell you this a minute. Why he didn't? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! Can you imagine the agonizing suspense when that baby had cried or somebody had knocked at the door? Jacob had say, hide him! And possibly even the great solitude that they had to live in to preserve that child. But then I see the commitment of that child into the hands of God. After much prayer and planning, they built that little ark. And they placed him in those bulrushes. Now, and I like this. If you don't like it, you don't have to like it. But the bulrushes is commonly called papyrus. And that weed was particularly used in Egypt to make paper out of. They wrote upon that paper. That's where we get our word in English, volume. That weed was used to write upon. And here they built an ark. Out
of that papyrus, a weed that is used to write upon, I can't help but to believe in my heart. You believe. You believe whatever you want to be. But I can't help but to believe in my heart that somewhere along the line that old Amram didn't get down on his knees on one side of that ark and Jochebed on the other, and they begin to write in there, "Dear Lord God Jehovah, this is my baby boy. I'm asking you in the name of the Lord to put your hand of protection upon my child." I'm confident they wrote something in that little ark. They poured out their heart to God for their own child. Oh, God, help us today, ladies and gentlemen, to learn to pour out our own heart for our own children, that God would watch over them. I'm telling you, we live in a world that's full of stinking sin and ungodliness and wickedness. I'm telling you, if God don't put His hand upon our children, ladies and gentlemen, they're going to die and go to hell without God and without hope. You ever knelt down with her bed and wrote a little prayer on it? I believe that's what they did. You can believe whatever you want to believe. But I believe that's what they did. I ain't preaching but 1 point, so I got to hurry. I'm hungry too. Oh, you gone? It's almost 1 o'clock. Now, stay right with me. I not only see that the parents had great faith, but I see here the providence of God. I don't want anybody to think I'm a fatalist, please. But you got to see the providence of God. The events that followed in Moses' life were not just some lucky accident or just some coincidence in life. There are no accidents with God. There are no coincidences with God. It's all purpose and plan according to providence. Can you get a hold of that? That's exactly right. They were of God's providence and sovereign divine. They placed that little ark in a special place. There's no doubt that Pharaoh's daughter had been there a number of times to take a bath. And probably Jochebed knew that. And she said, "I know exactly where to put the baby. I'll put him right up there where I know somebody will find him." And by the way, they didn't put him in the water. If you read that, they laid him in the flags by the brink of the water. He wasn't out in the water. He was just in case he got in the water. He was in that little ark. But he was there on that land in those flags. And I'm going to tell you, you think it was an accident that they placed him there? Oh, no. In the sovereign design of God. And that, and then the coming of Pharaoh's daughter at the precise moment. What if she had away? What if she had decided, "I'm going to take a bath in the home today"? There laid a baby with no food, no water, and a hot sun in Egypt. That would have no doubt in 24 hours been history. But I'm telling you, God in His heart, God, I'm telling you, God never makes a mistake. He's never too early and He's never too late. Now I'm going to tell you, she put that baby there right at the exact time. Pharaoh's daughter come by right at the exact time she was supposed to. And rescued that baby. You better believe so. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen. That's right. Praise His wonderful name. And then you think it was an accident? They laid that little baby down in Miriam. I don't know where to watch what was going to take place. 9 years old, according to most writers. About that time, here comes Pharaoh's daughter. Right on time. Here comes God. Right on time. Right on time. And she picks that baby up, and the Bible said she had compassion on it. And if she had compassion, no doubt tears doesn't begin to run down her face. And I would imagine over there somewhere in those flags, that old Miriam saying, "Hallelujah to God, we've got this one won. Hallelujah to God, she's weeping tears. Hallelujah to God, her heart's been touched. Hallelujah, our great God's touched the heart of Pharaoh's daughter. How are we in business today?" Amen. That's right. And she stood there and allowed that princess to find that little child and went to her and asked her if she wanted a nursing mother. And just so happened that she went right straight to her mama and brought the child's mother
to Pharaoh's daughter. Now listen carefully to what I'm getting ready to say. These were presiding. There was a presiding mind guiding the movements of each person. And a prevailing providence here. All these things were arranged under the supervision of Him who maketh every man's wrath to praise Him. And who, at the very darkest hour, was preparing His people a deliverer. The darkest hour in Egypt. There they were in the slime pit, making bricks and their children being killed under their nose, and right in the darkest hour of their very life, God sent a deliverer. Amen. Amen. And God preserved that deliverer. By the faith of His parents, God did preserve that child. I want you to hear me well. And by the way, can I say this? When that baby was carried into Pharaoh's house, I would imagine God kind of crossed His arms and said, "Ha, ha, ha! Here I'm raising up a deliverer right under the devil's very nose." Hallelujah to God. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you something right now. God ain't raising up a deliverer. God's already raised up a deliverer. And He raised him up right under the devil's nose. Blessed be His name. Amen. When the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, God brought a deliverer in the darkest hour of Israel's time. And raised him up right under the devil's nose. And they wanted to think the devil could do about it. He tried to stop him. Tried to have him killed. Couldn't do that. Met him in the wilderness. Couldn't do nothing there. Couldn't cause him to sin. He couldn't kill him. He couldn't cause him to sin. When He crucified him, He went right to the tomb. And He couldn't hold him prey. On that third and glorious morning, Jesus got up out of the ground. Hallelujah to God! Devil couldn't hold him down. He got up. I'm going to say again, He got up. Amen. Amen. That's right. Right under Satan's nose, God raised up a deliverer. Amen. That's right. The providence of Almighty God. Now, I want you to remember that God is in the daily events of our households precisely as He was in the family of the tribe of Levi. Somebody said, "I don't believe that." That's why you're an unbeliever. God's working in your life just like He was in theirs. Somebody said, "Well, I don't see it." Maybe the hour is not dark enough for you to see it. Sometimes when things are going smooth, we don't think nothing about God's providence. We don't think nothing about God's working. But I'm here to tell you that precisely like He worked in the life of Moses and Jochebed and Amram, He's working in our family as well. Right down to the very last minute detail. I believe God is concerned when we get a booger crossways. Well, I had to say something to wake y'all up. I believe God's concerned when we get an ingrown toenail. Somebody said, "Oh, Brother Hall, I do." He said, "We got the idea that it's only the big things that God cares about." No, He cares about the little things.
That's right. Amen.
Amen, that's right. He's in our life. He was in their life long ago. In the birth and the bereavement. In the prosperity and in the adversity. In the joys and in the sorrows. Amen. He's in our homes, and our homes are all under His supervision. You better believe it is. Our protection is real, though we may not even realize it at times. Oh, I know, that makes me really, I'm telling you, if I could run, bless God, I'd run my head through a wall if I thought my head was hard enough. If we'd ever get a hold of that, Brother Joel, that we're under the protecting hand of God, I'm glad I'm under the canopy of God's protection, and there is nothing the world, sin, Satan, the devil can do about it. Praise God, I'm saved, sealed, and delivered, and on my way to glory. Yes, sir. God will protect us. He did a little Moses.
He wasn't nothing but an itsy bitsy teensy weensy little baby.
Now, the next time one of you young ladies in here gives birth, you can say, "Oh God, protect my little baby in his life as you did in the life of Moses." I think sometimes we think we raise children. No, generally we make a mess out of them. If we'll let God do it, God will raise them. Train up a child the way he ought to go, and when he's older, will not depart from it. The problem is we try to train him up instead of letting God train him. We won't insert our opinions on our opinions. It's what that Bible says. We'll raise up a child according to what that Bible says. When he's old, he won't depart from it. In fact, when Moses got a little older, he ran to it. Now, we don't ever want to blame it on God because we fail. Never. Never. And I'm not saying we won't fail and our children won't turn out wrong, but it's not God's fault. It's ours. Now, I'm about done. God's power and purpose and plan here was unfolded. God's power and purpose and plan. We're reminded in the first place of the slavery of the Hebrews in Egypt, of the bondage of sin. Amen. See, God let them be raised up down there. See, all things, if you read the book of Corinthians, everything that happened unto them happened for our learning and for our admonition. And their life in Egypt reveals a life of bondage through sin. Throughout the Scriptures, the circumstances of Israel in Egypt are referred to, are typical of, the servitude under which the sinner is held. A lot of people don't believe that. Amen. Listen carefully. There is more than just guilt to wickedness and a lost soul. Well, I'm guilty of sin. Oh, that's exactly right. We're all guilty. But I'm going to tell you, just like Israel, they were guilty too. But there was another problem added to that problem. They had no way of escape. They were held in bondage to that very sin. I'm telling you that sinners today, let me just read it. Praise God. I've got it here. I'll just read it. Sin holds a man slave to itself. Whosoever committeth sin, the Bible said, is a slave to sin. You know what's wrong with these derelicts out on the street? Oh, I really want to get right with God. No, you don't. You lying devil, you don't want to get right, or you would get right. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. They got a bottle in their mouth, and it ain't a baby bottle. It's a liquor bottle. And buddy, that liquor holds them a slave to it. You take these pedophiles. They're a slave to that sin. They're in bondage to it. You take these sodomites. They're a slave to that sin. They're in bondage to it. Or you take these dopers. They're a slave to that sin. They're in bondage to it. Now, I'm telling you, there's only one way out of it. And that's by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To lift them out of that bondage. And to forgive them of their guilt. Not only guilty, but we're in bondage to sin. Try to get out on your own. You know what sin's like? It's like quicksand. The more you wool and waller in it, the deeper you sink. Can't get out of it. But I'm going to tell you, when old Peter was going down, Brother Troy, when he was going down, I believe for the last burp, he lifted up that arm and said, "Lord, save me!" That's all he said. Three words. We think we got to pray for a month. Three words. "Lord, save me!" Now, I understand that wasn't for salvation. But you know what Jesus done? Pulled him up. What about the old maniac at Gadara? In bondage to his sin, a slave to it.
lived in the tombs and cut himself day and night and hooped and hollered. Men tried to chain him and fasten him, and they couldn't do it. No man could tame him. Oh, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he saw him when his feet hit the shore.
Oh, yeah.
Said, Jesus, thou Son of God, have thou come to torment me before my time? He didn't realize Jesus wasn't coming to torment him. My God, Jesus was coming to liberate him. I'm telling you, He's a liberator of our sin. Son, He'll set us apart from sin by taking our sin upon Him. And set us free. I'm not a slave to no sin, friend. Tell me one sin I have to do. Now this body ain't redeemed yet. But I am not compelled to do it. I don't have to suck cigarettes and drink liquor and shoot dope and cuss and dance and go to the movies. I don't have to do all that junk. I don't have to whore mom, run around on my wife, commit adultery. I don't have to do all that. I don't have to do it. I don't even have to get angry with my wife. Somebody said, how do you keep from it? You know what that's called? Pride. Just swallow it. You realize that pride is what upset the whole ball of wax in the world. Satan was a proud, proud angel. And his pride found him here. Now I'm telling you, most people are in bondage to pride. Those things I mentioned while ago are the exterior. But I'm telling you, the internal sin, pride and malice and jealousy and envy and strife. Hey, that's what's killing mankind, and that's what's holding them in bondage to the outward motions of sin. Those other things are just outward motions. That sin comes from the heart. Amen. I'm just about done. I said, thank God. The Bible said the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. The law, the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life. Did you realize that? You realize life's got a law and a spirit, and you know where it's at? It's in Jesus.
Amen.
And Paul said, hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, we're going to die again someday. I beg to differ with you. I've already passed from death unto life.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, the life God give me is eternal life.
Amen.
He's got the power to, no man can pluck me out of His hand.
Amen.
The Father which gave me to Him. I want to repeat that to you, Armenians. The Father that gave me to Him is greater than all, and no man can pluck me out of His Father's hand. I'm happy I'm saved, neighbor. Amen to God. Woo! Amen. Glory to God. That's right. Thank Ben His wonderful name. As Moses set Israel free from the slavery, from the Egyptian taskmasters, even so can Jesus free sinners today from sin. And you know what He gives us? And I'm done. When He sets us free from sin, and we don't even act like it. He gives, somebody said, well, the only time you can have a jubilee is every 50th year is when Israel had it. But He gives us, once we're saved, a perpetual jubilee.
Yes, sir.
Whoosh. In other words, shout it out.
Amen.
Have yourself a time.
Yes, sir.
I've always believed in the best I can of having a free spirit here, as long as it's biblical.
That's right.
Right. I don't mind a little shout every now and then. That's right. We are to have a perpetual jubilee.
Yes, sir.
What? In the world, you shall have tribulation, but do what? But be of good cheer. Why? Well, I've overcome the world.
Amen. What is it that overcometh the world? Is it not your faith?
Praise God, let's have a time. Folks, we're getting ready to pull out. I've said this over and over again. He's not coming for some, oh, sinner, sinful, wicked, ungodly bride. He's coming after a glorious bride. Without spot and without wrinkle. Woo! That's His wonderful name. I'm going to tell you, if you do not have any spot, He's got to put the Clorox in. Amen. And if you ain't going to have any wrinkles, He's going to have to put the pressing iron to you a little bit. Say amen. Put you under a little bit of heat. Amen. But He's coming after us. Every Sunday morning, Dr. Tyler used to say, everybody standing. Every Sunday morning, we sing, Jesus is coming again to all of our shut-ins. Brother Horn, come right on and lead us. Coming again. Coming again, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, or maybe soon. Coming again, oh yes, coming again. Get this now. Oh, what a wonderful day that will be. Jesus is coming again. Let's all stand together, please.